Good morning. It's Tuesday, the 23rd of April, and this is Govindraj Ethiraj broadcasting and streaming from Mumbai, India's financial capital. Our top stories and themes for the day. The stock markets stage a relief rally as they search for fresh direction. Tech stocks on Wall Street are losing ground. Oil prices are falling fast, now at $86 a barrel. Reliance Industries is now a $120 billion company. Diamond exports are falling sharply, and so are imports. The insurance regulator wants new health insurance products, including for older people. Will the companies deliver?
This is a Core Report with Govindraj Ethiraj.
Markets stabilize after bouts of Middle East tensions. Indian stocks moved up on Monday. Now, there was no clear reason ascribable, so people called it a relief rally, which is what they usually do in similar situations. The BSE Sensex closed up 560 points at 73,649, while the Nifty 50 ended at 22,336, up 189 points. Some of the top gainers were Axis Bank, Ultratech Cement, Bajaj Finance, ICICI Bank, State Bank, Infosys, and Tech Mahindra. A quick peek on what is happening on Wall Street, because that tends to affect things here. Last week, just to bring you up to speed, was not so good for tech stocks. The Magnificent Seven of the US mega cap tech stocks retreated sharply as first quarter earnings are now beginning to kick off this week, with AI major Nvidia already falling 10% on Friday, after what Reuters called a nervy week for the sector. Four of the Magnificent Seven companies are due to report corporate updates this week. That's Tesla, Meta, Microsoft, and Alphabet. But the 10% drop of artificial intelligence bellwether Nvidia on Friday is perhaps the most surprising, or perhaps even stunning, move, at least at this point. Even though shares in Nvidia are now up more than 50% for the year to date, they've dropped 22% from last month's peaks to their lowest since February, according to Reuters computations. Now, this is also a good time to note that stocks on Wall Street, particularly tech stocks, are known to swing quite wildly in both directions. Meanwhile, UBS analysts on Monday downgraded what they called the Big Six tech stocks, essentially the Magnificent Seven minus Tesla, which, as you know, is a car company, to neutral from overweight. Oil prices are falling fast. Oil prices fell as some of the risk premium from tensions in the Middle East continued to recede. Brent crude was quoting near $86 a barrel after posting the biggest drop since early February last week. Gold prices also fell, and more on gold in a moment. Friday was a tense day, with Israel responding to Iran's missile strike with strike of its own into Iran's territory, and then both sides going completely and unusually silent, presumably because of all the strong back-channel pressure being mounted on them to keep it that way. Calling it an uneasy calm over the market, Bloomberg reported Tehran saying Israel has received the necessary response at this stage. The US House has also passed new sanctions on Iran's oil sector following the hostilities, and also approved fresh funding for Ukraine in its war against Russia. Oil prices are now quoting about 12% higher this year, though they have receded, and so have gold prices, which are moving now somewhat in tandem. And when I say tandem, I mean both gold and oil, driven as they are by somewhat similar factors as well. For example, in this case, Middle East tensions, which, as we have noted, are fading. Gold prices fell 2% on Monday, thanks to those lower war-linked tensions, which reduced the rush towards safe haven assets like gold. Spot gold was down 2% at $2,354 per ounce. It had hit $2,418 per ounce in the previous session, which is close to the April 12th record high of $2,431 per ounce, as investors were fleeing towards gold. In India right now, gold prices have declined to 73,650 per 10 grams. That's about 450 rupees down from about 74,100 rupees per 10 grams on Friday. Silver prices, which we've also been mentioning here, have fallen by 1,100 rupees to 85,500 per kg. Just to remind you once again, gold and silver prices have almost been moving in tandem in recent months. Incidentally, traders were predicting a $3,000 per ounce figure for gold, which may still be possible, but not right now, I would think. Reliance Industries is a $120 billion company. Firstly, the latest results, oil to telecom conglomerate Reliance Industries on Monday reported a 2% fall in consolidated net profits to about 19,000 crore for the quarter ended on 31st March 2024. Its revenue for this period, that's 3 months, was at 2,40,715 crores or 240,715 crore from about 216,000 crore for the same period last year. Overall, annual revenues were over 10 lakh crore rupees or $120 billion or up 2.6% year on year. Consolidated profit after tax increased about 7% to 79,000 crores or $9.5 billion. Reliance is also investing heavily. It reported strong capital expenditure for the year ended March 31, 2024 at about 131,000 crores or almost $16 billion. It announced a dividend of 10 rupees per share for the year ended March 2024. And in the latest quarter, oil and gas segment revenues increased by about 42%, which is indeed a sharp increase and also gives you a sense on what's really driving the company's results. Cut and polished diamond exports fall. Cut and polished diamond exports from India fell about 27% to around $16 billion thanks to sluggish demand from the United States, China, and the United Arab Emirates, according to the Gem and Jewelry Export Promotion Council and reported by Reuters. The fall in exports forced India, also the world's biggest diamond polisher, to reduce imports of rough diamonds by 18% to about $14 billion in the same year. And that's the kind of balancing that usually happens when exports go down or export demand is weak, and therefore imports have to be adjusted to make up for the lower exports. Interestingly, India's plain gold jewelry exports were up nearly 62% last year to about $7 billion, thanks to shipments to the United Arab Emirates, more than doubling because of the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, according to the Gem and Jewelry Export Authority. The regulator wants more health insurance products. Will companies deliver? India's insurance regulator, the IREDA, announced several new products and process changes over the weekend for health insurance companies. Now, these affect you and me fairly directly. Amongst the key ones, it said it was removing the 65 years limit for fresh insurance policies and also eased up several rules on pre-existing condition limitations. There are several other products, including linked to maternity. Now, all of this has not happened earlier for a reason. The question, therefore, is, will insurance companies fall in line? And if so, how? And more importantly, what is the context of these new announcements? I reached out to Nilesh Sate, former director of the Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, and also director now on several private insurance company boards. I began by asking him, in this somewhat long interview, for which I would urge you to listen a little carefully because of its importance, how the insurance companies would respond to this diktat and if the regulator's intent would be translated into product and how.
As regards age, many insurance companies are not giving first-time health insurance if the age of the person is beyond 65. I'm saying many, doesn't mean that all. New India, there are some Sahi companies which were giving insurance even beyond 65. But most of the companies were not giving first-time insurance, I'm saying, health insurance, if the person's age is above 65 years of age. Now with this, nobody can refuse. This is one part. Those who do not have product, they probably may have to come out with new products. Nobody can refuse health insurance first time, even if the age is above 65 years of age. This is what it means. But again, in the past also, if somebody is below 65 years of age and has got health insurance, and later on continues to pay the premiums, his policy will be renewed automatically. If somebody has taken insurance when he was below 65 years of age and continued paying renewal premium every year, then nobody can refuse insurance acceptance of insurance premium till his death, actually. So he was covered till death, maybe even 100 years. But not all insurance companies were giving insurance after 65 years. As I said, only a few insurance companies were giving. Now every insurance company will give. And if you keep on paying real premiums on time, then a person can get insurance cover even up to 100 years of age means till death, what I'm saying, not just 100, even beyond that. So this is one major change that probably will happen. This is what it means. A couple of changes which have been proposed, very welcome change, is insurance companies were refusing claims on non-disclosure of material facts. Even if the policy had run for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, that limitation has now been kept at 36 months. Means even if somebody has not disclosed major illness, say cancer, and he has taken insurance, but without intention of fraud, and he continues the policy for 3 years, and in the fourth or fifth year, he dies. Insurance companies cannot hereinafter refuse to pay him claim under the pretext that although you were having cancer and you had not disclosed, we are refusing the claim. That cannot happen. So once 36 months period is over, then either disclosed or non-disclosed, whatever it is, insurance companies are bound to pay a claim. So this is another major change that will happen. The third most important is it will create more inclusive health ecosystem in India, because IRDA has now specified that not only for senior citizen, you can also have design products for children for maternity benefit, only coverage of maternity benefit, so on and so on. Being thereby that more and more health products will be available going forward. And everybody can be insured under health going forward. This is actually already there in Ayushman Bharat or Prime Minister's Yojana, that is Jana Arogya Yojana. There is no age limit. Anybody can enter anytime. So similarly here, with this change, now it is on par with Ayushman Bharat or PM's Jana Arogya Yojana. And that is really a welcome change. So the waiting period has been reduced. Waiting period in the sense, suppose somebody is having cancer and he has disclosed also. Then in the past, there was 4 years waiting period. Means if the person dies of cancer in 48 months, then nothing was paid. That is called waiting period. Of course, if he died after 48 months, claim was paid. And I'm talking of disclosed illnesses. Beyond 48 months, claim was paid. Now this 48 months is also reduced to 36 months. Means once somebody discloses that I'm suffering from whatever hypertension, diabetes, or whatever it is, and if the claim arises in the first year, second year, or third year, then within 3 years, if the claim has arisen, obviously claim will be refused because there is a waiting period. But after 36 months, if the claim arises, then the claim will have to be honored without it raising any questions. So this is another change which has happened. One last point is the IRDA has specified that insurance companies should have a dedicated channel to service the senior citizen for their claims as well as for grievances. Now that is also good because elders otherwise, you know, moving from pillar to post is very difficult for them taking their age into account. So with this also, probably their grievances will get reduced quickly. So these are a couple of changes which have been.
So the first question, I mean, to come back actually, is that will all insurance companies then introduce these products, the ones that have been outlined or the ones you mentioned, including, let's say, ranging from maternity to 65 plus primary new schemes?
They will have to introduce. If they want to be in health insurance business, they will have to introduce. Like general insurance companies, and I'm not talking of standalone health insurance. General insurance companies have got an option. If they do not want to enter health, they may not enter health. But if you are a player in the health insurance segment, then you must follow the guidelines issued. IRDA means you must give insurance to anybody of any age. You must have 36 months waiting period and not beyond, and whatever is specified on customer's dedicated channel.
So if I were to flip that proposition, why is it that insurance companies were not issuing these kind of products? Is it because it was not remunerative, or when I say not remunerative in terms of the premiums they would like to collect and people not paying, or were they generally averse to these categories?
Yeah, actually, Govind, what happened, you know, in insurance is a game of large numbers. Now, suppose I want to give insurance to people who are 100 years of age. I may not have adequate number to justify my premium and claim. So by and large, people who are below 65 years of age, they are more worried about their health and expenses on account of any disease or dreadful disease. Beyond 65, one, their earning capacity has gone down drastically. And many times the psyche is, chalo jo hoga, wo hoga. In the sense, not worrying much about insuring oneself. Because for two reasons. One, the premium also goes up substantially. Like, to give an example, if a person of 30 years of age takes health insurance, probably the premium may be less than 5, 6, 7 rupees per cent. But if it is 50, it may go up to 10%. And if it is 70, it may go up to 20%. If it is 80, it may go up to even 30%. Now, a person of 80 years of age will think, as it is with 30%, I am going to have waiting period of 3 years. If I pay 3 years premium, means 90 rupees gone. And you will be covering 100 rupees. So why should I insure? So this is the rationale behind not giving insurance beyond 65 years of age. But anyway, having offered doesn't mean that everybody who is beyond 65 years of age will immediately, you know, grapple it. That is not the case. But it is available. Otherwise, it was not happening.
What is the policy insight that the IRDAI is responding to in laying out all these? So, I mean, in a general way, it appears that yes, more products, therefore more reach and more coverage and so on. But like you yourself said, some of these were not remunerative because there was not enough base. Therefore, IRDAI must be responding to something. Either, you know, it's a survey or consumer responses over time or demand.
See, having worked in IRDAI, I know how the system, you know, how these researchers are carried forward. One is there may be somewhat pressure from government or instructions from government that when we are giving insurance to everybody under Ayushman Bharat or PM Jan Arogya Yojana, why you are not? You should give. This is a possibility. I don't know because I am not a privy to IRDAI today. But this may be one reason. Second is the health insurance companies and general insurance companies who are doing health business probably may not be in a position to properly put forth their case why it is not advisable to introduce it beyond 65, 70 or 75. That also may be so. And these will be reviewed over a period of time because no regulations are lifelong. They are reviewed every 3 years. So maybe at the end of 3 years, when review is taken and it is found that although it was made available, not many have taken benefit of it or many are insured or the insurance companies have incurred heavy losses, that is also possible. Then these instructions may undergo a change. But then nothing stops IRDAI from introducing anything new and good. We should keep trying.
In your mind, I mean, this has obviously come after a while. I mean, we haven't seen any new such product announcements or initiatives in a while. What could be some other product initiatives or interventions the IRDAI could suggest or propose going forward? In your mind, what's the unfinished agenda at this point, at least?
If we talk only of health, probably the agenda may be that segmented products you should introduce. Means only for minors, for students, working women, for women who are likely to be pregnant going forward, such type of thing, or who are getting married soon. So some such segmented products may get introduced. This is one. And second is, this review will be taken. I'm sure that whether these products which are introduced are really worthwhile for the market or they are only for memes.
Insurance companies could create these products but may not really advertise them. Is that a possibility? Because then that perhaps may defeat the purpose of having them.
See, all said and done, whether they advertise or not, now, you know that if you have to buy term insurance, you will go to insurance company and say, I want term insurance, even if you might not have seen advertisement of term insurance by any insurance company. So once you know that IRDAI has made it compulsory for all insurance companies to have a product for beyond 65 years of age, and if you are 70, you will say, yes, I have come here to buy a product. Now give me a product. Advertisement or no advertisement? You know? Honestly, just after seeing an advertisement, I have not come across a single person who visits insurance company's office and says, I want to have insurance. I have not come across.
So, but broadly, you feel that this is a good thing for people who are over 65 because the awareness of insurance has changed and has increased, obviously. So, if today you're above 65 versus, let's say, being above 65 15 or 20 years ago is quite different. And therefore, you may want to go for an insurance.
See, Govind, actually, health was considered as a separate line of business only in 2015 with the amendment of Insurance Act. Health was considered as a separate line of business. Now 15 to 24, hardly 9 years have passed. Before 2015, the penetration of health insurance was absolutely minimum, just 4 or 5%. Now it has gone up substantially. 50 crore people are covered under health insurance, including government schemes. So now if somebody feels that, oh, I have lost my chance of taking health insurance because I have crossed 65. I want health insurance. Now he has got an opportunity to buy insurance. So this is what I feel. And awareness is increasing, no doubt about it. Mainly awareness is increasing because the cost of health has gone up substantially. Hospitalization cost has gone up substantially. And especially people have witnessed it during COVID days. Even beyond 65 years of age, people would definitely like to insure themselves.
COVID is a very important point to remember. Thank you so much for joining me. Air India's Boeing 747 bids goodbye. Unions say hello. An Air India Boeing 747 took to the skies for the last time on Monday, and Air India bid adieu to its last remaining Boeing 747, marking the end of an era for that iconic jumbo jet. The aircraft, once registered as VTEVA and christened Agra, departed from Mumbai for the final time after it was sold to an overseas company. Air India tweeted that today we wave goodbye to the first of our last queen of the skies, the B747 departing Mumbai. Thank you for an era of majestic flights. We'll miss your iconic presence. Elsewhere, technicians at a company that repairs and maintains Air India aircraft called off a strike planned for Tuesday, easing concerns that the industrial action could spark a renewed bout of travel chaos, reported Bloomberg. Staff at Air India Engineering Services, a state-run company that counts Air India as a top client, will not now go ahead with plans for a strike. The demands which have been met include revisions to workers' pay by the end of the month and career progression opportunities by May 31st, according to correspondence seen by Bloomberg News. A week ago, Vistara, an airline jointly owned by Air India's owner Tata Group and Singapore Airlines, was forced to cancel about 100 flights in the course of about a week after pilots called out sick or masked, complaining about fatigue and pay cuts. Elsewhere in aviation, the title of the world's best airport crown has gone from 12-time winner Singapore to Doha in the Skytrax World Airport Awards 2024. Also in a strong showing for Asia, Seoul Incheon bagged third place, also named 2024's most family-friendly airport, while Tokyo's twin facilities of Haneda and Narita took fourth and fifth spots. That was The Core Report with me, Govindraj Ethiraj. Do stay connected with more of our coverage at The Core. You can check out our website or sign up to our newsletter for our exclusive stories, one in-depth feature a day on www.thecore.in. Do also track us on LinkedIn, where we usually post synopses or extracts of our top stories and interviews. We would love your feedback on how we can make business more interesting and relevant, including, of course, India's vibrant manufacturing sector. So write to us at feedback@thecore.in. And thank you once again for listening.